Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Gary Neron welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry, taking a book of the Bible verse by verse, teaching as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology, speaking the truth in love, and our purpose is to give the lamp and light to all. Yesterday in our study of Hebrews chapter 2, we were taught that even though the judgment of God sometimes seems delayed or slow, it is always sure and will come in God's timing. Let's continue with that lesson today. Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Now, the law of Moses, given through the administration of angels, carried with it not only precepts and principle, but dire punishments as well. One reads often in the Old Testament of God's displeasure for their rebellion and sin. And at times it seems as if God's judgment was swift, while at other times it seemed to slumber. However, my friend, it always came. Every transgression and disobedience received an equitable recompense of reward. We try to teach our people in church, in the area of child rearing, make the pain of the punishment greater than the pleasure of doing wrong. I think that's a good Bible principle. Make the pain of the punishment greater than the pleasure of doing wrong. Our Heavenly Father has given an example for us to see, is just in child rearing, that when we punish our children, making that pain of the punishment greater than the pleasure of doing wrong, it has a tendency to stop what they're doing wrong. And God will do what He needs to do to try to correct His children. Now, learn to repent when the Holy Spirit of God convicts your heart. That's the time to repent, not to wait, not to put it off, not to delay. Now, the word through angels was steadfast, we're told, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. Now, understand, punishments are just as much due for sin as rewards are for obedience in God's way of doing things. And for example, we should witness, but then on the other hand, God gives a crown of rejoicing. Now, going back to the illustration of child rearing, yes, you make the pain of the punishment greater than the pleasure of doing wrong, but on the other hand, you reward obedience. You reward the doing of good. And I think that that is just as important as the other. Now, since Jesus is better than angels, how much greater is the responsibility on the New Testament Christian to heed the Word of God, even over what the Jew in the Old Testament was to heed? This alone should tell us that the Christian simply does not have liberty to the flesh. Now, as Christians, we must remember we are called out of darkness into His marvelous light, 1 Peter 2:9. Now, our calling is identified as the heavenly calling. And we'll see that in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. And it's high in the sense of a majestic calling, Philippians 3:14, and we are told that the called, Romans 1:6, are called according to His purpose, Romans 8:28. But we are also told to give diligence to make our calling and election sure, 2 Peter 1:10. Now, there is much in Scripture about our calling. Although the calling is God's work and God's prerogative, we are expected to add to our faith, virtue. And to virtue, knowledge, and to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. As we read in 2 Peter 1, verses 5 through 7. And my friend, we are called saints in Romans chapter 1, verse 7. Saints is the same Greek word for holy. Saved people are saved to be holy unto our Lord. That is the purpose for which we have been called or invited by God to become one of His chosen, one of His children. That is, to be holy. Everything in our lifestyle should center around the fact that we are His workmanship and that we are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And any work God has given you to do, anything that's within the will of God, will never, never, never direct you out of the realms of holiness. And the only way that happens is when we introduce our own things into the picture. Then we corrupt the Word of God. You see, if men trifle with the Word of God, the Word will not trifle with them. We don't have liberty to fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, friend, we were saved from sin. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from sin. It doesn't fit us to sin. So often people talk about their liberty, and instead of thinking of liberty from sin and liberty from the power of the flesh, they always think of liberty to fulfill the desires of the flesh. Isn't it interesting that some claim that you just can't win people anymore? The people aren't going to come if you preach that way, if you sing that way. The people just aren't going to come. Well, the Bible did say that in the last days they would not endure sound doctrine. But he still says it's by the foolishness of preaching. Now, my friend, you've got to decide, are you going to stick with God's way and have righteousness? Or if you're going to change, you're going to bring the world into your life, you're going to bring the world into your worship, you're going to bring the world into your church and have a crowd, but make it religious. It'll be religious, but it certainly won't be righteous. It will not be acceptable in God's sight. Instead, it'll be an offense to God. But look at the numbers and look at the people that we're influencing. My friend, you did not win people to rock and roll. You did not win people, ladies, to wear dresses that are low cut in church, that shows part of the anatomy that God never intended anybody but her husband to see. No, God didn't save us to do those things, to wear ladies wear short skirts, men to wear their breeches down around their knees. No, God didn't save you to do the vile. He cleansed you from that. That's what salvation is, cleansing from sin, not making it all right to sin. Now, that takes us into verses 3 and 4. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? For God also, bearing them witness, both with signs, wonders, and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. Now, God bore witness of this word. Now, spiritual deterioration begins when Christians start neglecting this great salvation. Salvation is great in its cost and in its scope. The word salvation refers to itself and not the teaching concerning it. That is, how to be saved. Israel had types and shadows to illustrate salvation. For example, in John 5:39, we read, "Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. They are they which testify of me. So, we're not just teaching concerning salvation. We're teaching salvation itself. That's the idea there. Now, with that candle alone to light them, the scriptures, and eternal life, they were held accountable for neglecting it. You ever notice how people want to blame God as being unjust? They say, how could God send people to hell that have never one time heard the word of God? And yet, every person in the world knew God at two different times in history. First in the day of Adam, and the next when Noah and his sons walked off the ark. The failure was not on God's part. The failure has been on man's part. It's been on man's part to hand it down to his children and his children's children. We are the ones that fail. God does not fail. Now let's think of a man that has a life-threatening disease. He's told to go home by the doctor and take medicine and stay in bed. He goes home, but he doesn't really like the medicine. Therefore, he neglects to take it, and he neglects to rest. He dies. Is the doctor to blame? No. The man has himself to blame. He had the medicine and the instructions. But as the secular singers say, I did it my way. You try to go to heaven your way, my friend, you're going to go to hell. Here's a man that hates preachers. He hates church. He hates Christians. A wife gets him to come to church and he hears the gospel. Oh, it seems terrible medicine. And he's madder than ever. He refuses to receive Jesus Christ, and he dies in his sin. Some people today fault the preacher and say, well, you know, he just didn't deliver that plan of salvation as nicely as he should have, as good as he could have. He failed in the delivery. He just didn't have the power, or he didn't do this right or do that right, or he was too arrogant, and there's a whole list of things. But we read in Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 18, when I say unto the wicked, and this is the Lord, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity. Now, it's his iniquity, which speaks of his personal responsibility. But then he adds, but his blood will I require at thine hand. That speaks of the loss of reward.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the word of God be a lamp unto your feet, and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address for the Lamp and Light broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And again, our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Gary Neron, saying, may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.
Sands on the hills may tumble, it will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation for the Bible.